So as I kind of go into my message, this, I think, leads into it well, because Paul is kind of giving thanks to a church that has helped him out through his ministry, and I want to highlight that for us as well, kind of what our mission is as a church, and kind of encompassing what we've sought to do throughout this past fall. And, of course, what I'm going to be doing now with going to Mexico, and how that involves you as Grace Church. And, hey, what do you know? That thing's moving. Anybody getting sick out there? That's what it's going to feel like when I fly. It's going to be moving that fast. So I'm going to read out of a letter that Paul wrote, and we're going to be talking about being on mission with God. What does it mean to be a mission-minded church? And that's not just missionaries, that's a part of it, but it's actually, to me, deeper than that. It actually speaks to the DNA of who we are as Grace Church, but really supposed to be the DNA of the church in general. God has a church, and that's us, and He has a mission for His church. This is God's thing. We didn't come up with it. We didn't create it. Actually, God came up with it, and He said, here's how I'm going to accomplish this mission. Before all of you get sick, I'll advance that slide. I'm going to set up a church to accomplish that mission. And the reality is, if you lose sight of that mission as the church, you will cease to exist. There's a lot of churches within the United States that have closed their doors prior to COVID, and it seems like some churches that probably were moving in that direction, COVID just accelerated some of that. There's a church that I know of at one time could seat close to 800 people in their facility in a bigger city, not a small town like Schuylkill-Haven, but it was a larger town, not a huge city. And there's about, 10 people showing up there now, meeting downstairs in the basement. They can't really afford to do anything with the church, kind of talking about closing it all down, handing the keys over, and just kind of disbanding as a church. And then I guess going their separate ways, finding another church. I'm not sure. But there's churches that are sitting around, and there's about 12 of them showing up, and they're asking themselves, because I've heard these conversations happen within our own denomination and other churches in the United States, you know, where do we go wrong? Why are there only 12 of us sitting here now? There's a lot of churches that started that aren't going to remain when Jesus returns. Why is that? What is the factor that enables a church to continue? Now, some of that is just, there's churches that have gone underground. We talked about that in the persecuted church. When there was just a very small group of Christians in Afghanistan. And when the U.S. withdrew and capitulated to the Taliban, those Christians had to either flee or go underground because they were target numero uno. So what keeps a church around? My goal, my heart and desire, I might not be here when Jesus returns. I might die. Jesus might return in 1,000 years and I won't be around. My prayer is, and what I do here at Grace Church is that Grace Church is still doing ministry when Jesus comes back. That's what my prayer is. That is not dependent upon Ted. That is dependent upon us as a church being unified around the mission that God has given us, to see people come to Jesus, to talk to others, to share the gospel. Paul is writing to a church that has been doing this since he shared the gospel there. The church is in a town called Philippi. It's in Greece. It was in Greece. That's the area that it was, basically just south of Bulgaria on the agency. Paul did if you can read about in Acts, he did a missionary journey there. That missionary journey means Paul went there specifically to tell people about Jesus. He did that, and he planted a church. A bunch of people said, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to turn from that life, and I'm going to turn towards Jesus, and I'm going to follow him. And that's what a church looks like, a bunch of Jesus followers. And so Paul planted a church there. So I'm going to read for you a letter that he wrote to this church. And he's probably sitting in a prison in Rome, is where he's probably writing this letter from. That's what scholars believe, that he's in prison in Rome. While he is in prison, he's got some freedom of movement wherever he's being imprisoned because people are coming to visit him. He's talking to others. That's how he's writing this letter and giving it to somebody. And, you know, there wasn't a mailbox you were dropping it in. And so he's got the ability to write letters. He's written a bunch. And probably, you know, God used this time as an opportunity instead of disappointment for Paul. When he's going all over the world doing missionary journeys, he didn't have time to write the letters. When he got imprisoned, he got nothing else to do. Might as well write a letter. And so we got all these letters in the New Testament from Paul to all of these churches that he planted. Different places, different cultures, different people. All people who said, I want to follow Jesus. And now Paul's trying to help them through these letters. And of course, God uses these letters to help the church in the 21st century as well. So what we're going to read is the conclusion to a letter that he's written to this church in Philippi, probably from Rome. And the letter is a roundabout way of thanking them for being a part of his ministry, to sharing in the ministry, to shouldering some of the burdens, to all the stuff that I've already been talking about and all the things that we try and do as a church in the ministry of the gospel. The gospel simply means good news. Well, what's the good news? That the good news is that Jesus has come, and when you put your faith and trust in him, he turns your life around. In fact, he's come to bring his kingdom here on earth. And so that's what Paul was preaching in this place, and he's thanking this church for their participation in that ministry, in sharing the good news and what that means for people and families, entire societies and civilizations, as it turns out. The person that's going to get this letter, his name is Epaphroditus. He is bringing the gift, whatever this gift was, from the church in Philippi. We don't know exactly what the gift was, but they sent this guy. His name was Epaphroditus. They sent him from the area in Greece that I described, and they sent him to Rome. So it wasn't like it was an easy trip. There was a lot of dangers a part of that, and of course had to pay for his travel there and take the gift. And so they're making some sacrifices so that they can get this gift to Paul. And it's likely that Paul gives this letter that I'm going to read, at least the conclusion of it, to Epaphroditus to deliver back to the church and read to them. And so this is what Paul has to say to a church that has really been a vital part of his ministry, of his ability to do what he does, being on mission with God. And what he's actually sharing in this letter is revealing to us of what it looks like to be a mission-minded church, to be a church that's on mission with God. So let me read the conclusion of this letter. Paul thanking this church that's probably been around for about 10 years or so. And in the first century, you just didn't come right out and say thank you. You kind of said it in a roundabout way. Because in the first century, there was reciprocation in gift-giving, giving and receiving. So if you got a gift, it was your. If you received a gift, next time it was your turn to give a gift. So it was kind of a back and forth. Of course, it's going to be difficult for Paul to do that since he's got nothing. He's in prison. But what he highlights in here is a gift that's way beyond anything he can give. Actually, it's a lot better than anything he can give. because that gift is going to be coming from God in a different way. So let me read this for you, this conclusion to this church, a group of people that are followers of Jesus in a city, a town called Philippi, and Paul sends them this note, this letter. "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." It's likely that this church had no idea where Paul was all the time. It's kind of hard to keep track of people in this world. There wasn't GPS and all that kind of stuff. So the church must have somehow figured out Paul was in Rome and he's in prison. They learned about it. And so concerned were they that they wanted to do something about it. And that's what Paul is saying. You've shown now that you've been given this opportunity to show your concern. And they're about to do that. So Paul is telling them, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." His thankfulness is really not because he feels like he needs something. "I know what it is to be in need." You can read about Paul's missionary journeys. He's got a pretty good clue of what it means to have nothing, to be shipwrecked and almost die, as he says in one part of the New Testament. And he says, "I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." The secret is, verse 13, he's learned the secret. "That secret is, I can do all this through him who gives me strength." If you're wondering about contentment, Paul just revealed what the secret is to contentment. It is all based upon your relationship with Jesus. You finding your strength in him. No matter what's going on in your circumstances, what's going on in your life, your ability to be content is derived from your relationship with Jesus. Paul just gave you the secret. "I can do all this because I find my strength in Christ." Yet, though he was not in need of anything, he knew that what God was doing in his life was for his glory because it gave him an opportunity to minister and actually share the gospel with Caesar's household. He says, "Yet," and this is an important yet "it was good of you to share in my troubles." There's something going on at this church and that group of people. "It was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only." This church has been doing this for a long time. From the time that Paul went to this town, started sharing about Jesus, and people put in their faith in Jesus, to this moment now where this gift has been sent to him. This church, and at times in Paul's life, this church alone has shared in this ministry. "For even when I was in Thessalonica," that's another town in Greece, "you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts." It wasn't that Paul always needed this stuff. He wasn't writing to them and saying, "Hey, please help me out." He said, "What I desire is that more be credited to your account." And now he's getting at the heart of what this church can expect from God. Paul says, "I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent." That gift, he is saying, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And Paul knows he can give them nothing in return, and so he says this in verse 19 in this letter, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Now, we've probably heard that passage before, "and God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." And that verse has been plucked out of this and kind of sits as a standalone verse sometimes, but it's very much connected to the sharing in this ministry. Paul has nothing he can give, but he knows that the work that's being done in this church in Philippi, that God much greater than Paul ever could, will supply what they need. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Because Paul knows that whatever happens, because he can't give back, the blessing that they will receive is actually going to be to Paul or to God's glory. So I want to highlight four things out of this short passage that I read for you. It's the conclusion to this letter. And what I want to highlight is what I believe Paul is telling us what it means to be a mission-minded church, to be a church that is doing what God has called the church to do, and how you are doing that, how we as Grace Church are doing that, and how we continue to do that, and how my trip plays into that as I leave for Mexico. The one thing that Paul says in his passage, in this passage, in this conclusion of this letter, is about being concerned. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that you renewed your concern for me. Something led this church at Philippi, in this town, this group of people, to just have a burden, to have this heart for what Paul was doing. And that Paul used the word concern. And what is being revealed here is their love for what Paul did for them. Paul came and shared the gospel with them, shared with them what it means that Jesus is King, what it means to put their faith and their trust in Jesus. And it has so changed their lives that from that moment and these 10 years later, they have tried their best to share in what Paul was doing. They have showed their love for God through the work that Paul was doing. They looked for practical ways to express that love. A church that is on mission with God shows concern for the gospel being proclaimed, shows concern for people coming to know Jesus. So if you take all that we've talked about throughout the fall, the art of neighboring, love your neighbor, this is our way. That the reason I was doing that message series is simply so that we can, as a church, continue to be concerned for the people in our neighborhoods that don't know Jesus. That is our mission as a church. If our mission becomes something else, we may lose sight of what God is calling the church to do and be. And unfortunately, there are churches today, as I said before, maybe some of you know them, and people that go to those churches, where there's 12 of them sitting around. And they haven't talked to anybody about Jesus in a long time. They haven't reached out to a neighbor just to see if they could help in some way. Everything that we are to be about as followers of Jesus, they've kind of left go by the wayside. What Paul is thanking this church in Philippi for is exactly what the church is supposed to be about. Our concern for the gospel being spread ought to lead us to, in love, express that concern, that love, in practical ways. We were trying to think of practical ways with the art of neighboring. If you're in life groups, we talk about some of those practical ways. And if you've gone through that art of neighboring, we kind of talked about it this past Friday. The reason we're doing that is not to sell them something. It's not to seal the deal about something. It's because of our concern and love for others and the gospel being spread. The church left the building as one of those practical ways. We're trying to show people God's love in a very tangible way by putting on some new steps at their house. When we do stuff, outreach ministries, everything we're doing as a church, what I'd like us to make sure we realize is that it is a part of this mission that we are on for people to know who Jesus is. This church, and Paul is writing them and thanking them for their concern that the gospel that is being preached through Paul's ministry continues to go forth. We try and show that concern through things like The Art of Neighboring and going through that message series, but also through things like praying for the persecuted church last Sunday, through things like giving to the international churches that we support or missionaries. And so we try the first Sunday of the month to focus on what God's doing around the world as well. Because our concern is for our neighborhoods and also around the globe. So Paul is thanking this church for that concern for him. And he says something that's important for us to know as Christians, and maybe important for us to know as Americans who are Christians as well. This idea of contentment, this idea of sacrificial giving. Paul is really emphasizing through what's taking place that the Church of Philippi is doing and sending this guy to take this gift. He is highlighting something important about giving, about generosity. Paul is telling them that he is content with where he's at. Paul has not solicited any help for this ministry. He has not gone to these churches and made the rounds to do some fundraising. And he's not saying that in a negative way. He is saying that because he is glad to hear that the church in Philippi, and because of their love for Jesus, God is doing something in their lives that they would be willing to send this guy and all the hardships of the journey and all the costs of that journey with this gift. We don't know what it was, but it must have been something pretty substantial because of what Paul is saying here. And he's taking this opportunity to remind them from which they have their strength and from which all their needs are met. And that's God. And to me, this is an important lesson for the American church and an important lesson for how we view our giving, our concern for, and our giving to the ministry of the church. The ministry of the church takes a lot of different forms, whether it's providing funding for the pastor and the staff of this church, whether it's providing funding for paying the oil bill so we have heat in this church, whether it's providing funding for a gentleman whose furnace died and the church is going to try and help him out with making sure he's got heat this winter, whether it's providing funding for Ron and Brenda Anderson, who are doing missionary stuff in Spain and sharing the gospel there. There's something going on in this church in Philippi that Paul has said, it is great to see that you guys have responded in this way, because I didn't ask for the help. The fact that you have given it to me shows that God is at work in your life. The gospel is alive and well in that church. In this gift is evidence of that. Your giving to the ministry of the gospel, which includes everything and more than what I just said, is not an obligation that we have. It's a concern for and an opportunity to share in what God is doing in and through the lives of the people of this church and others. And so Paul is thankful that after 10 plus years of sharing the gospel in that town, and probably with a lot of churches wondering, is God still moving and working in that place where the gospel was planted? That gift is evidence for the fact that God is alive and well in the lives of those people. And Paul's statement on understanding what it means to be content is a way in which he can share with them, and he's moving in this direction, that their generosity, God will bless. That idea of being content with, it was good today that we were talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit's work in our life that gives us the strength. That's what basically Paul is talking about when he says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Now that's another one of those verses that we pluck out and just use. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He's talking about being content with whatever the situation is. And being content with what God is doing in our lives, so much so that we're driven to be concerned for and share in the work of the gospel. If you're looking for that contentment, it comes from your relationship with Jesus. When was the last time you focused on that relationship? When was the last time you tried to be in tune with what the Spirit was trying to do and say in and through the Scriptures, maybe in and through other Christians in your life, maybe just sitting down and being quiet for a little bit? Paul goes on to say that he doesn't need anything, but the fact that they're willing to give shows that God is working. And he says, while he knows what it means to be in want and have plenty, and he knows how to continue his course in ministry because of the strength he finds in Jesus, yet, he says in verse 14, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. This is what it means to be a mission-minded church. This is what it means to be about what God has called us to be about. Our concern with the ministry of the gospel moves us to share in the work that is taking place, the work that God desires to do. So this past year with COVID and all that has happened with COVID, I shared with you that in Mexico we had a lot of economic turmoil and really devastation within a lot of the lives of the pastors in the EC Church of Mexico. And we actually took an offering this past year or 2 years, I don't even remember how long ago. But over about a year and a half, we were able to raise about $16,000 that went to buy rice, bags and bags of rice, that went to pay for some medical bills for the pastors, that went to just support the pastors and the work of the ministry that they're doing in their churches. That came because people were willing to share in, and you as Grace Church are doing that as well. As I said, the thing that I do is called shared ministry. It's called shared ministry because you share me with the denomination. I'm leaving for a week to go to Mexico, and you are sharing me with the denomination. And the denomination is sharing me with you. I'm also the pastor here at this church. So for me, this is who we are as Grace Church. This is our DNA. We are so invested in what God is doing in our own neighborhoods. We're willing to talk to our neighbors, to try and love our neighbors in Jesus' name, and we're willing to send Ted to Mexico to visit and be with those pastors and churches down there as well. We are a mission-minded church, and that mission starts outside our back door, our front door, extends to Mexico, and extends to the ends of the earth. If you are a church that is on mission with God, then you are about the spread of the gospel around the globe. And I'm thankful that we are about that, and that we are a part of a denomination that is about that. And I get the privilege to go to Mexico and be with these pastors and share with them what you guys have been willing to do. You'll never see them, but God will bless that generosity. That's how Paul concludes. He's got nothing to give them. He is in jail. He's got no money. He's got, you know, he's got nothing. How am I going to return? And in the first century, this is just what you did as friendship. You received and so you gave, and you reciprocated in some way a gift, and usually in a bigger way than what you've received. And so Paul basically ends by saying, I have nothing to give, but the fact is God is at work in your lives. And he says in verse 17, not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. Your reward is being accredited to your account. Beyond anything that I can give, it's actually talking about interest. It's like interest is being given to you in what you're doing for the ministry of the gospel. I have received full payment, he says in verse 18, and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And Paul gives something much bigger and better than anything he can give with verse 19 by saying, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. God will reward you for all that you are doing for the ministry of the gospel. There's nothing that really our brothers and sisters in Mexico can give to me to bring back here as a reward. What they are seeking to do and their gift, I believe, is going to be rewarded by God. I try to send money ahead of time. One of the things I do is I don't want to be a burden when we travel to different countries. The reality is most of these places we go, they don't have a lot. And so one of the things that we don't want to do when we go and visit is be a burden in some way. And so I try and send money ahead to take care of whatever those needs are. And our Mexican brothers and sisters refused that and said, we don't have much, but the gift we want to give is you sharing a meal with us. We don't want money for that food. We don't want money for that meal. We want to offer that to you as saying thank you. And I can say to them what Paul says, God will supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches. We don't give out of obligation. We don't share in out of obligation. We do it because we know that God is going to use that for the furtherance of his kingdom. And I believe that if we are willing to be those generous people, God will bless that. I've experienced that in my own life. My family has experienced that as Jess and I have tried with what God gives us to be generous and to share in this ministry. And I can say like what Paul says, I am content. I know what it is to not have a lot, and I know what it is to have plenty. I feel like I have plenty. I mean, I don't have enough to fly on a spaceship to outer space with Jeff Bezos or anything, but, you know, I got all that I need. If we as a church are willing to do what Paul is talking to the church in Philippi about what they did do, I believe we will experience that blessing. And so maybe, I don't know if you see this as a big deal or not, I see it as a big deal. Grace Church's willingness to share my time and energy with the denomination through Global Ministries is a way that you are, in a very tangible way, doing that. This is where I'm going to be traveling to in Mexico. We've got about 11 churches or so in Mexico, and it's in this area that I'm going to be, Carlos and I. Simply going there to honestly bring encouragement to the brothers and sisters down there and to say, hey, there's people that you may never meet ever on this side of eternity that care about you, that are concerned about you, that love you. My presence and Carlos' presence there is that. We're going down there to kind of develop some plans and hopefully do some things for the kingdom. so that it continues to spread in advance in Mexico. And if you've seen news reports in Mexico, they need to hear about Jesus. We as Grace Church, I believe, are doing this. I get the privilege of doing this. This is one of the, I know it's not fun for my wife and kids that I'm gone for an entire week, but I see this as a privilege that I get to do this piece. I get to go to Mexico and share a meal with brothers and sisters and share with them the love that the EC Church USA and the Global Church has for them. And I get to do that here too at Grace Church. You are part of that. You are sharing in that ministry. And I believe that God has been blessing that. Our generosity, not just financially, but even with me as your pastor, I believe God has been blessing and will continue to bless. And I have high hopes for this trip and what God's going to do as a result of it. It's my first time in Mexico visiting the pastors and the churches there. And I'm excited about some possibilities that have arisen and that I hope God brings to fruition as we go down there and share. That concern for that sharing in happens when you send me to Mexico. It also happens when you choose to walk out that back door, front door, and talk to your neighbor. We need to be a church that is on mission with God. And I believe that we are doing that, and my prayer, my goal as the pastor of Grace Church is that in the midst of all the challenges around us, we've had some pretty tough year and a half, 2 years. All of you know that. All of you feel that. My prayer is that we're not just trying to survive that, but God can help us as a church flourish in the midst of that because we're willing to be concerned with and share in the mission he has of sharing the gospel right outside our door into the ends of the earth. And as we do that, I believe God will bless his church and we will see what we are all longing for, more people's lives being transformed by Jesus. Let's pray. God, I'm thankful for this church in this city where I know there are Christians who still exist in Greece, and maybe they can trace their lineage back to the church that was planted in Philippi. God, my prayer is that as we continue to be involved in the mission you have given your church, Lord, that you would continue to help us to be concerned for the gospel message being proclaimed, whether that's through being the hands and feet of Jesus and helping out our neighbor through ministries of this church, or whether that's through sending me down to Mexico and trying to help the churches in that country spread the good news. God, I pray that Grace Church would be a mission-minded church. God, I pray that whatever is in front of us, as there's lots of people saying lots of different things about what we can expect in this country in the future, God, may we fix our eyes on Jesus. And in the midst of all the challenges we may face, all the obstacles that may come our way, God, may we thrive as the Church of Jesus Christ here in Schuylkill Haven. And as we do that, Lord, may we bless the world around us in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit so that more people might put their faith and trust in him and might experience the new life that Jesus offers. We pray this in his name. Amen.